If you'll turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, we'll be looking at Acts 2, verse 42 in just a moment. When you think about basketball games, you think about home court advantage. If you watch basketball much, it makes a difference where the game is played. And when we think about, fans, you think about the fanatical ones that on their home court, how amped up they are to cheer on their home team. And there are certain places that, this is Kentucky's arena, there are certain places that for a basketball team to come in, it's difficult to win there. Why? Because of their fans, because of their home court advantage. Imagine, trying to inbound a pass with this visual, which will make it all make sense. All right, go ahead for me, John. Imagine inbounding the pass with the fan. This is what's behind you. You try to ignore this and focus on your team and what you're trying to accomplish. I may have a dead remote today. This is behind the free throw. This guy's trying to shoot a free throw. And the hands move right when he's shooting. You've seen that before? Well, yeah, because I'm going to have to, I'll have to cue my sound guy this morning. And then here, this just goes. I haven't seen anything much worse than this. But you have all this happening behind the goal, and you're trying to shoot a free throw. But the fans are helping their team, and it's the idea of having home court advantage. Next slide. If you think about the Oklahoma City Thunder, a lot of us are Thunder fans. When Westbrook gets injured, this is one of your top two players. When he gets injured at this time of the season. Well, there's some concern about that, but he should be back. And so the major concern is not that the Thunder may lose a couple games or a few games during the time he's out. The major concern is, can we still have home court advantage when it comes playoff time? Why? Why is home court such an advantage? I mean, the court is still the same length, right? The goals are still 10 foot high. I mean, if you go play on someone else's court, isn't it the same as on your court? Why is it that big of a difference? Next slide. The difference is all the encouragement from your team, all the encouragement from your fans. Those players receive strength from that. If the home team struggles and the fans get going, it gets the team going. And so home court is a major, major advantage in competition, in sports. Next slide, if we'll look at Acts 2:42, we see that this is a picture of the early church. I mean, the church has just began here in Jerusalem. Verse 42 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. It has been said, I want to share a quote with you. It has been said that Satan wants to divide the church, disgrace the church, decrease the church. But in Acts chapter 2, the church is winning. I mean, this is a picture of the church battling Satan, and look who's winning. The church is winning. And if you look, thank you. If you look at what's highlighted, we see words like, we see what was happening there. They had fellowship. They were filled with awe. The believers were together. They had things in common. They kept meeting together. They had glad and sincere hearts. What do you see? You see home court advantage. The church, when the church is together, you have home court advantage. In Acts chapter 5, verse 12, just a little bit later in Acts, the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. This is next to the temple. The temple at this time was built by Herod. And one side of it, there was a colonnade, and it's believed that this is a remnant to Solomon's temple. And so you would have these outdoor patios on the sides of the temple, and on one side, of course, they made great places for groups to gather and lectures to take place. And that's one of the locations that the church would meet regularly in the first century, home court advantage. Acts 14, 26. Paul and Barnabas go on their first missionary journey. They leave from Antioch. And they, when they return, they come back to the church at Antioch. This is kind of the home base. They come back to Antioch, and it says from Adali, they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how He had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And they stayed there a long time with the disciples. They come back from this missionary journey, they're on fire. And they share it with the Christians there, and then they stay there. Why do they stay there? Scholars tell us about 3 to 5 years they were in Antioch here. Well, I can tell you one reason they stayed there. Home court advantage. When Christians are together, Christians are strong. And there's strength when we are together, because we fight Satan on our turf. Look at Romans 15:30. Paul, he says, I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. And so Paul's asking the Roman, the church at Rome, the Christians there, pray for him. Pray that I may be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service in Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints there. Why? So that by God's will I may come to you with joy, and together with you be refreshed. Paul, he writes to them and he says, pray that I can come and be with you. Why? Because I want to be refreshed. I want home court advantage. When we were in Canada last summer, Stephanie and I and Rick and Janet, when we were there, we worked outside. And we did, the first day we did a lot of clearing. We cleared paths in a wooded area that was thick. And we cleared it by hand, the four of us, with handsaw and cutting tools. And so after day one, we're pretty tired, because as you can imagine, we went there to work. And we had 2 days to work. And we went there to work, and we weren't showing off, but we were, you know, we were going to try to represent you guys and do, you know, not be lazy, you know, preachers and deacons. And so we worked hard. Day two, we worked some more. Day two is where we put, where we made a bridge across a little creek. And that morning, it's Rick and I working with some other men. Now, the other men, this is their first day. This is our second day. But we're still working. I mean, we're giving it our all. We started early that morning, and we're just 100%. I mean, we weren't pulling back at all. John had knee surgery just a few weeks before. He's recovering from knee surgery, and truthfully, probably should have been in a chair with his leg propped up. He's out there hobbling around. So he's doing this, and Rick and I are just hooking it. Well, by about 1 o'clock, we stop and eat. And we were kind of cleaning up a little bit to eat, and Rick and I were talking, and we were both wiped out. And we both decided that surely John is going to tell us, hey, this is great. You know, we're going to do something else the rest of the day, the work, because we got the bridge done enough where they could get across it. We were ready for, you know, the checkered flag. This is wonderful. Thank you. And so during the meal, at the first part of the meal, John starts talking about what we're going to do that afternoon. You know, now we can keep working on it. And I'm sitting there eating and hearing him talk about us. We're going to go back and hit it some more. And I am wore out. And I look at this food and I say to myself, self, now I would have eaten a lot anyway. But I said, self, you better eat everything you can get down, because you're going to need all the strength you can get. I needed to be refreshed. I needed to be refreshed. Don't we so often walk in here and spiritually need to be refreshed? Don't you come in here sometimes spiritually dragging, spiritually wiped, and you come in and you want to be refreshed? Look at Hebrews, this classic passage about meeting together. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another daily. Let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is about, I'm going to use the phrase going to church. Now, we are the church, and we understand that. But this is about coming together. Why is it that God wants Christians together? Home court advantage. He wants us together because He knows we can't beat Satan out there. I'm not saying we always have to be here or we only win against Satan when we're here. I'm saying without being together, we can't do it. We need home court advantage. We need refreshment. We need the strength. There's a lot of power that the church has. There's a lot of power here. A lot of power against Satan to do what we're supposed to do. And you need to know that your presence here matters. When I came Monday night to this past Monday night for the Master, I don't know if anyone else experienced this. I wasn't late, but I was running a little late for my schedule. I come, it's right about 6, and I see cars everywhere. Now, I know what normal Monday night for the Master crowd and cars looks like. And I pull in, and I mean, just have to take a double take. They're here, they're there, they're everywhere. And immediately, it washes over me encouragement. I mean, what's it like to go where Christians are, and there's a bunch of them there? And I just remind you, every member matters. When we were in Quebec, you know, being with the church there, it was a whole different picture of what Christianity is. We saw 18 Christians come together out of a culture that is not religious. It's a culture that has dying old Catholic church buildings. The people are not religious. And you have these 18 people who drove, none of them lived in that town. They drove and came to this old building that's being remodeled, used to be an old garage, auto garage. And they come in there and they sing together and they pray together and they commune together. And you know that they need to be together because that's the only time they get home court advantage. That's the only time they get that strength from other Christians. And it was just weird to me because it's the same for us, but it's different. It's different. They are much more isolated. It's just a much clearer picture of what it really is, the power of coming together as Christians. I want to close with a video I want to share with you. This happened in November 2008, Grapevine, Texas. It's a high school football game between Grapevine Faith and Gainesville State School. The Gainesville State School is a juvenile detention center. They have school there and they play football, but it's a detention center. It's young men underage, high school age, who are incarcerated. Okay, every football game that they play is away. They don't have a home football stadium. They're incarcerated. They don't have fans to come to cheer them on. They're incarcerated. So they play football, but they always play away. They play at the other team's football stadium. Well, you know, at a football stadium, you have your home crowd. You have your home crowd, and then which is larger stands. And on the other side of the football field is you also have stands on the other side, but it's smaller stands. Everybody listening? You have a smaller stadium stands on the visitor side. When these young men who are incarcerated, when they play football, their side is always empty. They don't have any fans. Their parents don't come to the game. They have no support. And when I heard Tom Cotting told me this story this week, I'm listening to this, and I'm thinking, this is not true. And the more he tells, the more I think it's not true. Finally, he digs up a video online, and I want to, instead of telling it to you, I want to show it to you. It's an incredible story, and so listen to this.
When you walk around the grounds of Gainesville State School, you'll see just about everything you would on any other high school campus. There are students, teachers, a computer lab, and a gym. Except here, the students are convicted criminals.
It's an incarceration facility for kids that have violated the law.
Each day starts in a tiny dorm room they call home and continues marching from class to class, abiding by a strict schedule. In fact, the one thing that makes them feel like kids again is football.
I'm just like the remote model on campus, you know what I'm saying? Everybody want to play on the football team.
Just to put on a Tornadoes uniform is a reward, not a right. You must have good behavior and good grades. Not to mention, every game is played on the road, but it's worth it to escape on Friday nights and enjoy a small piece of freedom they gave up. But each week, there comes that constant reminder of who they are and what they've done.
They don't treat us as a regular person in the world. They treat us like we're just some alien, just from somewhere out, just out of nowhere. I mean, they look at us like animals in a cage, like we don't deserve a second chance or another opportunity to be something in life.
After hearing the ridicule and losing 8 straight weeks, the Tornadoes were once again on the road, traveling to play private school power Grapevine Faith for the first time, who had moved up a division. Their head coach, Chris Hogan, had a game plan in mind, and it had nothing to do with football.
We were going to show them that in this country, if you make the right decisions, people will get on your side and support you, and it doesn't matter what your background is. You can make it.
In a selfless suggestion, Coach Hogan sent out an email and requested his fans, his players, parents, do something so out of the ordinary in the football culture. He asked them to cheer for Gainesville State.
These young men will not have any fans outside of the faculty from their own school. Their parents will not be there. I want some Lion fans to sit on the visitor side and cheer for the Gainesville team throughout the game.
I thought, okay, this is cool that Chris wants us to do this, leading up to it. But getting there that night, it was so easy to transition from being a fan for the Faith Lions to a fan for the Tornadoes.
You know, the idea of giving and just being there to support those kids, those young men that have never had that before.
So for the first time, the always on the road Tornadoes would feel as if they were at home. And as kickoff approached, it was obvious something was different.
It looked like they thought they were at the wrong end of the field because they know they don't have any fans.
And we were just looking. I just looked. I just kept doing my plays. But I seen how they were split up, but I figured they just didn't have enough room on their side. I want y'all to line up in line. They're making a spirit line. I like, say, what, coach? What you said? Can you repeat that? And he said, they're making a spirit line for y'all to run through. I like, that's what's up, sir. That's what's up.
When it happened, it was just, it was dynamic. It was one of the most unbelievable things I'd ever seen.
When I ran through this, like, I felt like it was just like some, like, angels was on me. That's all I felt. Because I was just running through it as fast as I can. I just feel the wind rushing my face.
That feeling of being unleashed lasted throughout the game, and so did the cheers.
We had a penalty like the third play of the game, and I heard booing behind me. I turned around, and it was the Grapevine fan.
I remember when I was making like a play, I made a chocolate, and people yelling my name. I'm like, I don't even know these people.
They were just like ours that night. I can remember rooting for their little quarterback, and I felt like he belonged to me.
Our kids were their kids, and their kids were our kids, and all kids were the same.
It wasn't enough to lead the Tornadoes to victory. As expected, Grapevine Faith won 33-14, and the Tornadoes finished the season 0-9. But it didn't matter, because for the first time in a long time, someone was in their corner, and that alone was worth celebrating.
I was like, hey, y'all, this is going to get close, man. I don't care if we lost tonight, man, because I was feeling good.
But like we were in the Super Bowl championship game or something. Like we won that. I mean, winning like in our heart, spiritual wise, I mean, we won.
I've been in state championships of different kinds, and there's nothing was like this. Nothing.
Isaiah and the rest of the Tornadoes will never forget the feelings they had on that night. And while it didn't erase the mistakes they've made, it showed 14 teenagers that regardless of the bad things they've done in their past, there was reason to look ahead.
I cried. When after the game, I went back to my room, I cried. I think that your family are the only ones that love you.
God that I don't want to love you. Other people love you too.
This is what I was hoping and praying would happen. I hope that it gave them hope.
I see the world in a different way now. I mean, I'll just see, like, I'm the victim no more. So much love because, you know, I came from a broken home family. So, I mean, having all that love, it just rose my spirits up.
They got to be kids that night. They got to be a teenager and experience Friday Night Football in Texas.
I can't watch that without crying, so if you're crying, that's okay. Home field advantage. When we come here, whether it's Bible class or worship, small group or Sunday evening service or Monday night for the Master or Wednesday night, isn't that what we have here? When we walk in, when we see each other. You know, there have been Wednesday nights when I came and I didn't feel like coming. I'm tired. I'm fatigued. I'm spent. But when I walk in here and see your faces, I'm strong again. I mean, this morning we have a number of faces that maybe we haven't seen in a while. Nick Walker. When I saw Nick, I don't know if I've ever hugged him before. I think it kind of weirded him out, but I had to hug him. That's just how I feel. It's home court advantage to know that we can fight the devil here and not on his turf. Right. You know, we're always battling his discouragements, his doubts, his despair. And to come in here and battle him here and know that here I have people that care about me. Right. To know that I have fans here. We want, when people walk in here, and I hear regularly our new people say, they'll say, you know, when I first came, y'all were too nice. I thought, this can't be right. This can't be real. These people aren't really this nice. But when a newcomer comes, we want them to know you have fans here. We believe in you. We don't know where you are or what you've done, but obviously you're trying to walk closer to God, and we want to walk with you. And we'll put our arm around you. We'll cheer you on, and we will battle Satan together. I want to encourage you to get home court advantage. Not just during the worship hour, right? Bible class, small group, Monday night, Wednesday night, get home field advantage. We're so much stronger when we're together. This morning we're going to sing a song of encouragement. You may be here this morning and something heavy on your heart that you'd like us to lift up to God for you. You may be here. There may be one this morning that you're not right with God, and you're in your sins, and you need to give your life to God, repent, and have your sins washed away. If there's something we can help you with, please come while we stand and sing.
Oh God, you are my God.